The Laps Factor Podcast.
What is up, college lacrosse fans? I am back from my four-week hiatus caused by work just being way too busy for me to find time to carve out to do the podcast. I even wrote a couple of episodes in that process, and then Sunday hit and I had some work crap drop, or I had to go golfing maybe, I'll admit. That could have been a problem as well. But today I'm back. We have to talk about the fact the regular season is now behind us. We have a very clear number one. Things are starting to get murky in terms of the media poll for numbers two through four, so I had to sit down today, do my media poll. I believe there's a media poll that's still going to go on here, and I think I have to vote later today. We shall see. But either way, I am prepped. I have written it up. I am going to record and put this podcast out for you today. We're going to talk a little bit about some of the games that were played this weekend. But more importantly, I am going to rank everyone in terms of number one through number 20. This is the actual poll that I will be submitting, my vote for the poll that I will be submitting here later today when I do it. So I just wanted to dive into that a little bit. Now, before I get into it, one thing, be sure to like, subscribe, hit the notification bell so that you're notified when we put videos out on YouTube. If you're an audio listener, please just share with everybody. And as always, you can go to laxfactor.com. You can watch our videos there. You can get yourself some swag, t-shirts, all that other crap here. We have a shop that has t-shirts, some of them podcast related. You can get yourself, for instance, you know, the Lax Factor podcast t-shirt right here, or you can get non-podcast t-shirts, you know, the club lacrosse all-star with a Twitter bird getting all drunk. The Twitter bird is no more, so hey, game on for that. But all right, I digress here. I'm going to shut up, and we're going to talk about the team that I have. I'm not going to do the whole suspense thing and go 20 through one. I'm going to get right into the nitty-gritty. We're going to talk about Notre Dame here. Initially, they're now sitting at 10-1. They proved they are the undisputed number one team in the land, number one ranked team in the land. They take down Virginia Saturday. They are the number one seed in the ACC tournament. And because now we can start prognosticating for real about what the NCAA tournament field may look like, they're still not guaranteed the number one. They still have to do at least a little bit of work in the ACC tournament because they do have these other ACC teams breathing down their neck. I feel like if either Duke or Syracuse can win the ACC tournament, especially if Notre Dame goes down in the first round, I think you could see a world in which Hopkins, if they handle their Big Ten business, they could get bumped into the number one seed. If Notre Dame were to lose the ACC tournament, especially in the first round, and Hopkins were to win the Big Ten tournament, let's say Hopkins doesn't win the Big Ten tournament and both Notre Dame and Hopkins get bounced, but within the semifinal round of each of their tournaments. The ACC tournament only has a semifinal round. The Big Ten tournament, everyone's in. So they play a couple more, or at least one more round. If both Hopkins and Notre Dame lose in the semifinals of the conference tournaments and Syracuse or Duke win the ACC tournament, I think you could see in that situation a Syracuse or Duke ending up sitting at the top of the tournament seedings. But right now, Notre Dame, odds-on favorite. They're the odds-on favorite to both win the ACC tournament and to grab that number one spot. If we go deeper here, Notre Dame, their defense is sneaky, is kind of the sneaky strength of this team as they go deeper into the season here. Between Will Donovan, Chris Conlin, Sean Light, the youngster, Liam Entman, they've got veterans, youngsters, athletes, rangy dudes that can play defense really well, and that's a true strength. Now, offensively, they are the most efficient offense in the land, so when I say the sneaky strength of this team is their defense, I'll dive into that a little bit deeper. Offensively, they score on 42.6% of their possessions. Their man up was finishing going into yesterday's game. They were finishing at a 74% clip, which I think if they finished the season now, they'd have the NCAA record for the most efficient man up offense, you know, for eternity here. That's crazy. Defensively, they're ranked eighth, but don't let that fool you. The team, because they're veterans, they know how to play. They've played under the big lights on the big stage. They get stops when this team needs them in big games. So even if they aren't the most efficient defense in terms of percentage of stops that they get stops, I'd argue, at those opportune times better than any defense in the land. And you know what you're going to get with them week in and week out. You're going to get an offense, maybe not. They don't have the most skilled players all over, but they for sure have the most chemistry out of any team. They're electric, they're fun to watch, and they scrap with every ounce of their fiber, especially on the ride. They have all the right guys in all the right places. Their defense and goalkeeping is going to be top notch also week in and week out. They get the job done when they need to. Now, that loss to Georgetown, who's now ranked 11th via RPI. Whenever I say the rankings here through the rest of this video, I'm talking about RPI because RPI is what's going to factor when we get into the tournament seedings and everything. So media poll rankings, I'm telling you where I'm putting people here in Notre Dame at number one in my media poll, but wherever else I talk about the rankings specific to who they're playing and everything, that's all RPI based. I don't want to have to say it over and over, so I just want you to know that ahead of time. That Georgetown loss, that came at the right time. It's been all but forgotten by myself and everyone else who votes in the media poll. And now Notre Dame, up next for them is Virginia in the ACC tournament. Now let's dive a little bit into the game that they played here this weekend. Peyton Cormier, he's just trashing on people. He has 4 goals on the day. Now Pat Kavanaugh, he goes 2-2. Devin McClain, which has been excellent here. One of the reasons this Notre Dame offense is so good is because they have guys that can press you on the edge, but then they have a guy like Devin McClain, kind of really good inside, but he can mix it up a little bit and dodge a little bit. And then you got Jake Taylor. They have two of the better kind of off-ball guys in the country. McClain, a veteran transfer. Taylor's just been a killer here since he's been at Notre Dame. So they can press you on the edges, but they're really good inside, and that allows people to press more on the edges. It just frees people up because the help cannot be too quick to come. And I think that perfect mix of guys who can finish in and around the cage, they've got guys who can snipe from out top. I think that healthy mix of players here, because Eric Dobson can stretch a defense, the Kavanaugh brothers can both stretch a defense, and they both can get it done in close. So I think that's one of the big things here for this Notre Dame offense. And then in this game, you got Entman. He ends up going for 55%. He's his normal self. Matthew Nunes, been streaky at the beginning of games. I think he had a better overall game here than he's had the last couple of weeks out. And then at the faceoff dot, Virginia did get it done. Gobriel's been excellent for Virginia, spelling a now retired from college across Petey LaSala. He's been great for UVA here, but Will Lynch and company, they did enough that the possession disparity didn't matter. And then they win this game by a small margin here. Now, this, I just kind of blew it up here, but my number two team, it's going to irk some people. I'll get called a homer, but I think I have logic that will back up this pick to the point that people can't chirp me too bad. So I do have Syracuse is going to be sitting in my number two spot when I submit the poll. Again, assuming we are submitting a poll today. Kinnear hasn't sent the email out yet. He usually does that at some point on Sunday. There's no games today either, so there is a small chance there isn't a poll, but we shall see. I keep harping on that point. So, yeah, I have Syracuse at number two. They had the week off this week. They did not have to play. They will face Duke in the first round of the ACC tournament, the semifinals here on Friday. I have them at number two because when you really look at what they've accomplished and then you consider some of the head-to-head matchups within the top five here, I think they deserve it, so let's dig a bit further. Syracuse's resume, as good as it gets in terms of wins, they have a win over Duke that you saw here where they put the beat down on Duke 10-4. They're third in RPI. Hopkins, second in RPI. They have a win over them. They have a win over number 6 Virginia, win over number 21 North Carolina. So in terms of RPI, they have wins over number two, number 3, number 6, and number 21. That gives them arguably one of the best batches of wins that any other team has other than Notre Dame, and then you could make the argument Hopkins also. They also have wins over the lesser teams, Colgate 23, Delaware 29, Utah 30. Duke, I think, has more top 20 wins in terms of RPI, but Syracuse has the best 3 wins here out of all the teams other than Hopkins themselves. Now, couple that with the fact they've won head-to-head matchups. Now, last week, what was it? Duke was number 2, Hopkins was number 3, Syracuse was number 4. I had Syracuse at number 2 last week as well, because as I'm ranking them, it's like, okay, Notre Dame, clear number 1. Then you got Duke and Hopkins in the mix ahead of them based on what other people thought, but Syracuse had head-to-head victories over both of those teams, mixed with the fact their strength of schedule warrants being up here with them, and I figured, okay, head-to-head at the top here, boom, Syracuse gets that nod, and then we'll go a little bit deeper as I start talking about Hopkins here. But, you know, a lot of people I think are still going to have Syracuse sitting at number 4, maybe now number 3 with that Duke loss here. But in terms of my media poll vote, I just can't have them sitting behind a team that they beat head to head at this high a level when their resumes are so close. So Syracuse picks up my number 2. They didn't play this week, so we have nothing to talk about, but they will play Duke on Friday in the tournament. My number 3 team, as I've already alluded to, I have Johns Hopkins now. Sitting here at number three. Now, they dropped two in a row to number four Syracuse, number 27 Navy. Again, that's RPI rankings. I thought, well, Hopkins isn't as back as we thought after those two losses. But then they run the table on the Big Ten, finish the season with five straight wins. They're going to have Michigan, I believe, in the first round of the Big Ten tournament. But, I mean, they ran the table on the Big Ten. That is something that is very difficult to do. They beat Rutgers. They beat Michigan. Eke out a win over Penn State. Eke out a win over Ohio State. They beat Maryland by two. They're now the Big Ten champions, and they are for sure back, like I said, with Michigan upcoming here. Their opening season loss to Denver, who's got a RPI of five. That doesn't look too bad now, nor is that loss to Syracuse, who's ranked fourth in the RPI. That Navy loss is the reason that I just can't ignore Syracuse's head-to-head win over them. Hopkins is 2-1 against teams outside the top 20. Syracuse is 8-0. But Hopkins has played a much tougher schedule because more of their games have happened within the top against ranked teams than anyone else in terms of RPI. But Hopkins is 0-2 against top 5 teams, where Syracuse is 2-1. So that mixed with the head-to-head, boom. That's what we have here. Hopkins and Cuse, they're neck and neck. Hopkins has a better RPI. They're ranked second. Syracuse's RPI of four is good enough that I'm willing to swap their spots in this poll due to them having the head-to-head over both Hopkins and Duke, the only other two teams in the RPI that are ahead of them. Now, I say all that, but with Hopkins, you get a team that has a veteran defense, a goalie that if he gets hot in the tournament at the right time, he can put 20-plus saves up, an offense that's going to fight tooth and nail and can sting you even when they're not playing their best. And I think truly if Jacob Angeles is running around with his hands free in the Big Ten tournament and into the NCAA tournament, look out for Hopkins. So, yes, I have them at sitting at number three. Yes, I believe both Hopkins and Syracuse are back now that we have them sitting at number two and number three, and all should be well in the world. Now, my number four team, just looking over to make sure I'm still recording, Duke. I have Duke sitting at number four here. Now, on Saturday against UNC, Duke struggled at the faceoff dot badly. Brady Wambach schooled Jake Naso and company. He wins 16 of 24 draws. Naso is just 5 of 20, which is way below his season average and what you would expect out of that killer. So between that huge possession disparity, Brennan O'Neill shot just 2 of 13 on the day. UNC goalkeeper Colin Krieg had himself a solid game, especially over the first three quarters. He had 15 saves, a 56% save percentage. Get rid of that fourth quarter, and the kid was probably sitting at 75% up to that point. UNC ends up walking over Duke in this game. Wasn't good enough for the Heels. Their margin of victory, I think, had to be 5, and they would have bumped Duke from the ACC tournament, but they let Duke back in it. Duke only loses by 3. Duke gets that spot in the ACC tournament. Now, Carolina wasn't likely to get into the NCAA tournament. They would have had to win this game, win both games in the ACC tournament, and then I think they could have been like the last team in, because that would have given them some really legitimate quality wins, but that is not it's not going to happen. Duke gets in the way the ACC tiebreaker works, which it came down to margin of victory. Oh, man, my nose is running here. My allergies are kicking my ass. All right, their RPI drops down from 1 to number 3 as a result of that loss. Now they have losses to Notre Dame, to Syracuse, to Penn, and to Carolina. So their losses in sequence come to number 1 in RPI, number 4, number 12, and number 21. Now where that loss to Penn was that original hitch in their giddy-up, now this new loss to UNC is the hitch in their giddy up. And once again, you're like, hey, why didn't I drop them more? They just lost to an unranked team. But I didn't drop them more because they still have wins over Virginia. You know, I mean, this is still a very good lacrosse team with a lot of quality wins. And I think in terms of eye test, in terms of reality, yeah, they didn't play their best game against North Carolina on Saturday, but I still feel like if Duke played the rest of the teams in this field, more often than not, they're going to win. So I probably could have dropped Duke below UVA. This is where things get murky, but their RPI is still crazy. Their quality wins are still crazy. Their worst loss now to UNC, not terrible, but they still have head-to-head over the number 5 team in my poll, Virginia. I had Virginia at number 5 last week. I'm not dropping them a spot for losing to Notre Dame. They put up a solid showing. The issue here is that UVA's lost 3 games in a row now, so I do think you're going to see some people drop them maybe as low as 7, but I'm doing my poll here based on what I think tournament seeding is going to look like, and I just don't see Virginia dropping that much further. I mean, their RPI is number five. I feel like they deserve the five ranking despite losing to Notre Dame here and despite losing three straight. And if we dive a little bit into why I've done this, and I'm going to talk about Virginia, my next team, who I have sitting at number six, and then the team after them sitting at number seven in this. So I'm going to kind of give away my cards a little bit. But the idea here, bumping Denver and maybe even Maryland ahead of these guys made sense, and a lot of people in the media will do that. The reality, Virginia lost to three of the best teams in the country to finish their season out, and I don't believe that implies that Denver is better than them because they haven't shown us, you know, great things lately. That's just not how I roll. UVA's losses to Notre Dame, number one in RPI. Johns Hopkins, number two in RPI. Duke, number three in RPI. And Syracuse, number four in RPI. The only teams that have beaten them are the teams that are ranked ahead of them in the RPI. And I believe if they play Denver tomorrow, I think they beat them. They're undefeated against everyone sitting outside the top four in RPI. Denver's loss to Yale is far worse than Virginia's worst loss, which is to Syracuse in that light. So, boom. Virginia gets my number five spot. Easy peasy. And then that brings me to my number six team, which is Denver sitting at 11-2. Like I said, we talked about it above. Denver, I think, definitely deserves this sixth spot without question. Some would argue they should be number five. That's fair. For me, their RPI is tight, sitting at fifth. They have the head-to-head over Cornell, who I have sitting right behind them. It was kind of a simple pick for me. Their strength of schedule overall is what gets me. I think they for sure deserve the sixth spot, and they've proven that they can hang with the big boys. They have wins over number two Hopkins, number nine Cornell, number 11 Georgetown. Their only losses to three Duke and 10 Yale. That Yale loss at home, probably one they'd like to get back. But this is a very good lacrosse team, getting W's against very solid competition. I think from an eye test perspective, I'm actually surprised how confident I feel putting them in this spot. I am not sure they are truly the sixth best team, and we'll see here as their conference tournament goes on and we get seeded and everything and we get into the first round of the NCAA tournament, but I just couldn't put them below sixth. I couldn't put them above. I couldn't put them at fifth either, but I think sixth is the spot in my heart that they deserve here. All right, next team that we need to talk about here is Cornell. And again, some of these teams have played games, and I'm not talking about them because right now all of the regular season doesn't matter, and what we really have to look forward here now is conference tournaments and tournament seedings. So I'm definitely more focused on where these teams all sit after yesterday more than I want to even talk about what they did yesterday, except for where it merits it. Cornell, number seven. I did have them sitting at eight last week, or at one point last week, but after comparing their resume to Maryland's, I bumped them to number seven on top of the Terps here. Cornell's losses are to Denver, five, Penn State, eighth, and Penn, 12th, and then Notre Dame, the number one team in the country. That doesn't look too bad, unless you look at that Penn State margin. That Penn State margin was a 20-9 loss. Penn State beat the Big Red 20-9, but they've got wins over number four, Syracuse, number 10, Yale, number 13, Princeton, number 18, Harvard, and number 20, Ohio State. And that just gives me the feeling that they deserve to be rewarded for that over Maryland here. If we compare, and this the real kicker between Cornell and Maryland for me, both of their best wins are against Syracuse. Cornell's worst loss is against number 12, Penn, whereas Maryland's worst loss is to Michigan, who I think was ranked like 16th or something like that. So that's really what allows me to give that nod to Cornell over Maryland, even though Penn State is in this three-team mix as I get here and talk about it. So my number eight team, as I said, is Maryland, sitting right behind number seven, Cornell. I originally had this swapped, but like I said, that they're both of their best wins are against Syracuse, and then Maryland's loss to Michigan is what gets me overall. So that's it. Maryland does have a slightly better strength of schedule, but if we're kind of playing that what have you done for me lately game, I think Cornell, they've got wins against ranked conference foes, while Maryland has lost to their, to Hopkins in terms of winning the Big Ten. So, you know, if Maryland had beat Hopkins, boom, no brainer. Maryland's now sitting at maybe even number six, maybe even number five. something like that, but they didn't. They lost to Hopkins, and now Maryland's going to face who? Penn State in the first round of the Big Ten tournament here. And then that brings me to number 9, and this is where we have that conundrum between 7 and 9. Penn State holds that head-to-head win over Cornell, and it was an absolute beatdown, but Penn State lost to Colgate to open their season up, so their worst loss is to number 23 in terms of RPI, Colgate. But beyond that loss, they've been one of the best in the country. I don't think that this ranking of 9th really does them justice in terms of how they're playing now. Their only other two losses beyond that bad loss to Colgate are to Hopkins, number 2, and to Maryland, 7. So, you know, I think that puts Penn State here. Yeah, they beat Cornell, but I could not play the same level of musical chairs because it was a three-way swappy-swap weirdness here. Like I said, though, their wins are solid. Cornell, 9. They beat Yale, who's 10th. They beat Michigan, who's 16th. Ohio State, who's 20th. Rutgers, who's 25th. This is a team that very easily could, you know, you could plug them in at number 6. The problem just being teams ahead of them have more quality wins. It's complicated with that head-to-head, but over Cornell, but, you know, screw it. I've said that enough. I'm going to stop talking about it. And Penn State is my number 9 team. Now, my number 10 team, and Penn State actually had a pretty good win over Rutgers here yesterday. TJ Malone has been a killer here this season, 4-3 on the day. But the real strength of Penn State is Frassian. He goes for 69% between the pipes here, 18 saves. If Frassian is hot, Penn State can beat anyone in the country, plain and simple. Can beat anyone in the country. If we kind of go down here and we look at his stats to finish his season out, no goaltender is hotter. He has that game against Ohio State where he dips below 47%, and he hasn't been below 55% for the rest of the year, which is actually crazy. I don't think this game's been played yet, so I don't know why that game is sitting here. But yeah, 61% yesterday, and actually it said 59% in what we looked at before, so I don't even know how accurate these stats are. But anyway, what is true and what is accurate is Jack Frassian is playing like a goddamn animal at this point, and he's going to make Penn State a very dangerous draw in the NCAA tournament. They don't need to win the Big Ten tournament to get themselves a ticket punch to the NCAA tournament. I think just win that first round game, and I think Penn State's in. And now I haven't talked about whether or not a lot of these teams that I've spoken of so far are getting in or not, because I think every team that I've spoke about so far, whether they win their conference tournament or not, I think will probably get at-large bids. I'll do a much deeper dive into that as we get closer after a conference tournament start next week. Okay, next team, Georgetown. Now, the Hoyas were close to getting themselves back into the top 7 or so, but dropping that game to Denver 2 weeks ago, that kind of solidified where I put them here. Once again, though, I feel like this field between like 7 and 12, one of the tightest fields, I think, in terms of, I think right now, 5 through 12 are closer to 1 through 5 than they've ever been. I think we've got a really tightly packed field in terms of competition. And I think this is really one of those years where Notre Dame, the definite odds on favorite, but at this point, anybody could win this tournament. If Notre Dame gets bowed out, then I think it's anyone's ball game after that. All right, so boom, we get back to here. That loss to Denver, that's why I have them sitting here. They could have probably got themselves back into the top 7, maybe even better. They do have a win over number 1 Notre Dame. That is an insane victory to have on your resume. Where the Hoyas lost me was that Denver loss mixed with the fact that their overall strength of schedule just not great. Sitting at, I believe, 20th in the country right now. And their wins overall just not good enough for me to bump them over anyone else. They have wins over Penn, who's 12th in RPI, Loyola, who's 19th. Those wins don't give me warm fuzzies. But what I will say, whatever happens in the Big East tournament, no one wants to draw Georgetown's stick here, considering they're the only team so far this year to beat Notre Dame. And even though they haven't been as battle-tested as every other team we mentioned, they're still very good. They are firmly on the bubble if they don't win their conference tournament. I think it's super close, and I think they probably get in. Their worst losses aren't terrible here with the loss to number 2 Hopkins, and then I think, what did I say, Loyola was like 19th or something like that. That loss to Denver is not terrible. So I think if they don't win their conference tournament, they're on the bubble, and they have a very good chance of getting in still. Probably they get in. Number 11. My number 11 team is going to be Army, who just beat Loyola yesterday. Much needed win for Army here. They still got to win their tournament and all that crap, but this was a definite resume booster for them. Loyola is sitting in the top 20 in terms of RPI, so it will count as a quality win, all that crap. Reese Burritt goes 4-1. Evan Plunkett's had a great season. He goes 3-1. In terms of Cage, Sean Byrne, 56% between the pipes. Let's see here what Will Colletti did. 64% at the faceoff dot. You know, Army's been good. And like I said, what sinks Army for me in terms of just, I'm not going to have them higher. They lost to Colgate, who's 23rd, Boston U, who's 24th, mixed with the fact that they're playing a very down overall Patriot League in terms of RPI. Their SOS is getting dragged down to 31. So a part of me wanted to put Princeton at 11 ahead of Army and bump Army down to 12, but Princeton lacks that signature win, which Army has due to their win over Syracuse at 4. So Army gets the 11th spot for me. And I alluded to the fact, Princeton, they're going to be my number 12. Huge win over Ivy League rival Yale on Saturday for Princeton. Gian Ficarro played incredible in cage. He has 16 saves, 67% between the pipes. That was the reason for the win. Princeton held Matt Brandau to just two goals and a dish on the day. Princeton boasts the number 4 rated defense in the country right now, and their offense not too bad either, sitting at number 14. Now, this was an easy win over this was an easy one, as the win over Yale allowed me to just kind of play musical chairs here between the 11 and the 13 spot. So Princeton gets bumped above Yale. Yale was sitting at 11th on my last vote, Army at 12th and Princeton at 13th, and I just bumped Army and Princeton up because they both won and dropped Yale down to 13th. But for Princeton, yeah, like I mentioned, their wins. Princeton's losses are to Duke 3, Maryland 7, Cornell 9, and then Brown 43. That Brown loss drags them. That loss drags them badly, right down to the point that if they didn't pick this win up, and if they maybe you could even argue if they lose in the first round of the Ivy League tournament, they could get left out as an at-large team. So I think Princeton, just because that Brown loss is bad, I think they probably want to pick up one more quality win here in the Ivy League tournament, and then they probably get an at-large. I haven't done the math here, so I may end up doling out way too many at-large bids to teams in terms of them maybe getting them. That's all I'm saying, is that they might get them. Some of these teams I say might get them may be locks. I haven't done the map. Today's exercise is purely for my poll vote here for this weekend. That brings me to my next team, the team that lost to Princeton yesterday, Yale. Now, Yale's a tough one for me to place because I'm not as sold on them as I am some of these other teams. Their strength of schedule isn't the best. They're sitting at 16th. That win over Denver on the road is huge. Denver has an RPI of 5. Their loss to Cornell, RPI of 9, totally acceptable. My issue with Yale beyond that, they just haven't done much. They have wins over Penn, who's sitting at 12th, Harvard at 18th, Colgate at 23rd. They're just all yawns in terms of wins. It's definitely considered handling their business, but they played some chumps en route to an 11-3 record. Boston U, who's been struggling, that was supposed to be another one of Yale's quality wins, but Boston U's just, their RPIs dropped to the point that win doesn't count as much. So I think 13th for Yale after they lost to Princeton, and proving that without Johnson and Lyons in the lineup, they're now a second tier in terms of the Ivy. But what's crazy to me is without Johnson and Lyons in the lineup, this Yale team has been as good as they have. And you look at why Matt Brandau, 97 fucking points going into the playoff, you know, the Ivy League tournament here, just absolutely bonkers. Chris Lyons last year Brandau only put up 70 points last year. What people don't realize about Brandau, though, this dude has been a killer. Like Brandau, 99 points in 2022. 2021, Brandau didn't play because the Ivies are douchebags. But yeah, to have Brandau, so like it's proof, though, that last season when Brandau only put up 70 points, that wasn't because Brandau had, you know, taken a step back in terms of talent. It's not because Chris Lyons and Leo Johnson are necessarily better players than him. It's because he is a system dude, a dude's dude, a killer, can dodge and feed with the best of them. And I think he's proven he was this team's best player even last year, as I had parroted. And he's proving that now, that even without those two guys, he's able to just carry this team and have this team be as good as they are. Absolutely incredible. And yeah, Andy Shea is just, he's loving, like he probably feels like Matt Brandau is a son to him. Cause I'd be hugging that dude. I'd kiss him on his cheek, you know, no diddy. So, all right, let me shut up here and stop talking about kissing Matt Brandau on his cheek. Hashtag no diddy. Penn, number 14. I have them at 14th because, hey, they beat Duke, who's third in RPI. They beat Cornell, ninth. They beat Harvard, 18th. Their losses aren't bad, coming to Yale, 10th, Georgetown, who's 11th, Princeton, 13th. St. Joe's in Carolina, yeah, you probably don't want to lose to them, but still, St. Joe's is 15th in RPI, Carolina's 21st. Now, one may say, well, St. Joe's has the head-to-head win over Penn, so why not have them up here in this nice, cushy spot at number 14, because I have St. Joe's sitting here at number 15. As you, Kel, you can't see my tab, so you don't know that. But what I say, St. Joe's doesn't have two top 10 wins, and Penn does. Penn has a win over Duke, who's sitting at third in RPI, and then that win over Cornell. Better wins, and St. Joe's, you're definitely going to have not as good a wins and worse losses overall. So Penn gets my number 14 spot. St. Joe's gets my 15th. Easy. Great, great season here for St. Joe's, though. They opened the season with a loss to Boston U that at the time didn't look that bad. That loss to Towson at the time did look bad. Lost to Duke, who cares? But they have rattled off 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 straight wins en route to this 10-3 record after losing their first three. Incredible job here. Their wins not overall, or their wins are over number 12 Penn, number 26 Richmond, High Point 33, Air Force 35. Not great wins in terms of RPI. Not enough quality wins for me to bump them to 14 ahead of Penn. And they're going to take on UMass in their conference tournament here, a team they've already beat 12-7. So yeah, St. Joe's, I have them sitting at 15th. I think they're a good team. They could be a tough draw, just not, they haven't been battle-tested enough overall. Or they've been fairly battle-tested. I think just the battle-testing puts them where I think they should be here, sitting at number 15. I've got Michigan at number 16 here. This is where things are going to get a little weird, and I think other people are going to disagree, and I'm going to rip through these a little bit more quickly. I have Michigan at number 16. They beat Maryland, who's ranked 7th in RPI, Ohio State 20. They handled their business and beat some decent teams. Their losses are to Notre Dame, Hopkins, so number 1 and 2 in terms of RPI, Virginia, Penn State, Harvard, and Rutgers. I mean, you can't be too mad at them for that. That Rutgers loss is, I'm sure, one they'd like to get back, but either way, this is a good lacrosse team that actually played a tough schedule for a change. The last two seasons, they've tested themselves more than they traditionally had, and I think they've come out well. I'm rewarding them for it by giving them the 16th spot in my poll because I think they're a quality team. There's going to be teams out there that will have better records, but I don't think they ran the gauntlet that Michigan did. Towson, other people are going to have these guys way higher. I'm still just not seeing it. Now, I'm a much more of a believer than I was before, especially after they get this win over Delaware yesterday or Friday night, I think it was actually here. So, yeah, they're winning me over a little bit, but still, their best win, St. Joe's 15th, Navy 27th, and Delaware 29th. Their losses are what are kind of making me feel much better, and I think maybe they do deserve to be up a little bit more in the rankings. Their losses to Hopkins, Virginia, and Loyola. But yeah, 17th I think is fair. I don't think anyone's going to chirp me for putting them there, and I think you might see people pop them even into the 14th or the 15th spot. What were they? I don't have it up here. I do. Yeah, they had them at 15th already, so you might even see some teams put them. Yeah, I don't think they're going to go up any higher, so I think 15th is where they'll probably stay, but I don't see it. I think Michigan is still a better team. I think St. Joe's is still a better team, unless I'm wrong, and maybe they beat one of these teams, but I don't know. Oh, yeah, yeah. Towson beat St. Joe's. So you can make the argument maybe I should have swapped those two spots. But I'm not, man. I'm sticking to it. Sticking to my guns here. And you know what? I haven't submitted this vote yet. So now that I'm talking about this out loud and I'm seeing this, you may very well see me by the time I get to my vote. I may actually bump Towson to 15th. And I might bump St. Joe's down to 17th. We're going to see. The reason I don't do that, though... Yeah, I don't know. Shit, man. Now I'm thinking. Okay. And then we keep going deeper. Let's go deeper. After Towson, I've got Richmond sitting at 18th, and I've got Harvard sitting at 19th. I think a lot of people are going to bump Harvard right out here. But when you look at my argument for them, they beat Michigan 16th, Bryant 32, Providence 34. But in their losses all came to high-ranked teams in terms of RPI. I'm highlighting these as if you can see them here in my notes, and you can't. So yeah, their losses were to Duke or no, Virginia 6, Cornell 9, Yale 10, Penn 12, Princeton 13. You know, so Richmond's losses are even better than Harvard's, which is why I still do have Richmond above Harvard and everything like that. And then my 20th team, I don't have one yet, guys. I have to really figure this out here. I'm kind of torn in terms of who I'm going to put at 20. I had Delaware there, but now they're lost to Towson, has me wondering. So I'm between maybe Utah, Jacksonville, maybe not even bumping Delaware out of the mix here. So I don't know who I'm going to do for 20 yet. It's going to be somebody, and we'll see what's up. Now, guys, I apologize here. To be real, the hiatus here, that 4 weeks I took off, that's the most I've ever taken off in season in like 4 years, 5 years, pretty much since I've been doing this. Work has just been crazy. I have intentions every weekend of sitting down by Sunday morning and recording something. I just find myself so beat down and tired at times when I hit Sunday. And I'm working so much during the week that, I'm having a hard time saying, hey, I'm going to spend 5 hours this week away from my family, tucked away into the office that I spent 50 or 60 hours in already. It's just hard for me to get down here and actually get this done on Sunday. So I got to look out for myself. I got to make sure I'm not a rolling stone to my kids and everything like that. Coupled with the fact that it does get frustrating putting a podcast out on a Sunday only to have it get flagged and have the copyright holder of whatever highlight I included take all of that revenue. So that's the other thing that you're probably going to see, at least for the podcast portion here where I'm doing the podcast. It's not worth it for me to sit here and do the podcast if it's going to get flagged and all the revenue for that podcast is going to go to ESPN or whoever. Now, and I'm not complaining about that, rightfully so. I mean, I'm using their footage in the show. They don't flag me. They don't give me copyright strikes. They just take the revenue and let me go on with business. But, you know, maybe I make $7 on that video from YouTube and $4 on that video from Spotify. That I'll sit down here on a Sunday morning for $11 and then a t-shirt sale or two because at least I'm getting something out of it. When the videos are getting flagged, then I'm getting $2 for the video and then one t-shirt sale or two. It's just like, oh, you know, I mean, I don't get out of bed for work in the morning for less than 100 per hour. So why am I going to come down here and spend 5 hours for $1 per hour? It just makes it very difficult to do at times when I'm already beat down and tired. So I apologize for that hiatus. The reason I actually got up and crawled out of bed and did it today is because so many people have hit me up over the last 3 weeks, and it kind of came to a head this weekend where five or six people, you know, I'm used to the regulars hitting me up for the first 2 or 3 weeks. The guys that have been here watching the show for 4 or 5 years, they hit me up a lot, and that's one thing. And I'm used to those guys chirping, and I'm glad that they're all there and that they actually give a shit enough to do it. But this weekend, where I had a bunch of people that I did not recognize the names necessarily as regulars, a couple of people hit me up, asking me about the hiatus, making sure I was okay, and then they just went out and bought t-shirts. So it's like those people realizing, like, hey, you know what? There is a hole that I'm filling in terms of this. I'm not for everybody, but, you know, enough people pay attention and have been loyal that I got to get off my ass here, and I'll finish the season out for you guys. And that's it. So, hey, if you want to help out, though, go to laxfactor.com, buy a t-shirt. It'll make it a little bit easier for me to get up in the morning and do this when, you know, I'm making more than $7 per show or something like that. So that's it. We got some crazy lacrosse here upcoming this week with the conference tournaments. I might even get off my ass and do a preview show, but rest assured, I know I've said it a bunch, but next Sunday I will be sitting right here ready to do a kind of conference tournament weekend recap. Might even get bumped to Monday because I think some of the conference finals games are going to be on Sunday. So let's say probably Monday, but I'll let you guys know on Twitter what's up. And again, I am sorry for the hiatus. I had to take it. There was no way around it. And I'm thankful to all you who are tuning in and everything like that. And you know, that's it. We'll figure out a way to make this more sustainable next year. I think just doing the podcast without highlights, though, is going to be the winner because it requires the least amount of effort. You know, cutting a video together after I record the audio parts and putting all those highlights in, that adds another 2 or 3 hours to the mix. So, you know, my time spent all in today, by the time this is uploaded to YouTube and you're watching it, will be about 2.5, 3 hours. I can do that on a Saturday, but it's that 5 or 6 hour grind where I'm including highlights that gets me. So, all right, I've rambled enough here. I'm going to shut the hell up here. 38 minutes of me just talking incessantly into a microphone. It'll be interesting to see what the feedback is on this one. But again, hey, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Go to laxfactor.com to support us. And Hoost is out.
The Lax Factor Podcast.